Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and is provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Chris Kingston Barker is hosting the program from home today amid concerns about the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Chris and her guests will be talking about this year's San Luis Obispo Film Festival. Her guests are the festival's director and artistic director. Over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. The 27th Annual International Film Festival is taking place soon from March 9th through 14th. And will be one of San Luis Obispo's most unique festivals ever, with a predominantly virtual experience. This world-class annual festival, along with events throughout the year, provides a venue for international and local filmmakers, exposing an ever-expanding range of audiences to new ideas and experiences. This year's film lineup will feature 111 presentations, including 30 feature films, 63 short films, and 18 music videos. My guests today include Sky McClellan, San Luis Obispo International Film Festival Director, Wendy Edson, SLO International Film Festival Artistic Director. They'll be sharing their vision of the SLO International Film Festival to provide a year-round destination for international independent cinema, promoting diversity, understanding, education, and inclusion throughout engaging storytelling, and share the highlights of the upcoming festival year. In the first half of today's show, we'll also visit with filmmaker Dale Griffith-Stamos, the writer-director of Entwined, short film in the Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase. In the second half of the show, filmmaker Brittany App will be joining us. Brittany's environmental documentary, Where There Once Was Water, will premiere on closing night of the festival. And thank you all for joining me today. So I'm gonna start with you, Sky, and if you could talk a little bit about this year's festival. I know it's got to be different because of COVID. Can you talk a little bit about how this transition over the years been and how it will be?
Yeah, for sure. And thank you for having us. It's such a pleasure. As last year, a lot of people know, we canceled our festival 5 days before the festival due to COVID. Yeah. And ever since then, it's kind of just been just a barreling roller coaster of what are we going to do? What is our festival going to look like? What's it going to be like in March? And so we've just really had a look at, you know, what the focus and core of what we do. And I think that the thing that came out the most was the films, and the importance of really great programming and exposing our community to those films. And so we said, you know, no matter what, if we're virtual or we're in person, we still want to program incredible cinema. We want people to have access to it and just do what we can. So we've come up with just an amazing program that is going to be available virtually for all 6 days, March 9th through the 14th. And then we also have a lot of panel discussions and filmmaker Q&As and special events and the things that, you know, we're kind of known for that make it a more than just a film screening, but make it a festival, film festival experience.
That's fantastic. So have most of the filmmakers or most of the individuals that you had scheduled for last year, are they returning, or was it difficult to get people to stay engaged? How did you work that?
So we offered actually to our pass holders and sponsors, we were able to quickly get all the films up that we had programmed. We reached out to our filmmakers and said, do you mind if we put the films up for our pass holders? And they said, it's fine. We totally understand. And so they were able to see those films. It was definitely kind of a bare bones platform. There wasn't a lot of technology at the time. So we just kind of were like, let's get something out there. And through all that, I think our supporters really enjoyed that and knew that we were there for them. And that's honestly the thing that I've seen the most, is just a lot of positivity around just wanting to support us. And our sponsors have just been absolutely incredible and generous. And they know that it's a difficult time for us, and it's a difficult time for all the arts right now.
Right.
And so I really feel that so many people have just been very gracious in supporting us. And we were surprised, because we were like, you know, it's virtual, you know, it's not ideal, but I'm really been humbled by seeing that.
You know, there's been so much change with all the theaters shutting down, of people not being able to go out and watch. And the, you know, if you watch the stock market with Netflix just absolutely going through the roof, what did it go up? Something like 300%, 3,000%, something like that. What, mm-hmm. what do you think it does for bringing new people in this year who may not have come out, you know, during what used to be in our area a rainy season? Yeah, I say yeah. jokingly. You know,
I know the sun's like shining on me right now.
Yeah. That, do you think that, you know, people will engage in a way that is really encouraging for this kind of film industry? And a lot of these films are just, you know, they're amazing. And a lot of people don't have an opportunity to see them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you hear a lot of negativity in our independent film community about those big streaming platforms, or that, you know, it's going to hurt festivals like us. And I think yeah. we definitely were worried about it for a long time in the past. But what I've seen is you still don't know how to really, you're still not getting that curation that we offer at a film festival.
Yeah.
You're still not getting, there are so many films that are getting lost in these big platforms, and they're choosing what they want you to see. So right. even the filmmakers aren't necessarily benefiting from that, and having that platform, or like having the Q&As and all the other things that we do at a festival. So I actually think it's been great for us. It's definitely something we considered doing before COVID even, was trying to offer the films virtually after the festival. So it's kind of just been a natural progression. It just sped up something that we've thought about for a while, is how can we further support our filmmakers year round and promote their films and get people to see them. And also, I think, you know, in specifically speaking to San Luis Obispo, we are a very sprawled out area, and we've always had an issue of getting people to come down the grade from North County to SLO, or just accessibility. So I am excited that people can get a little taste of what we do. And anytime anyone does come to the festival for the first time, they're usually like, oh my God, I didn't know it was like this or whatever. So I'm excited that it is so much more accessible to people.
Yeah.
Can I just add something to that?
Yeah, absolutely, Wendy.
Because I think the accessibility is completely different this year. And so we are excited to see what is different about it. But the fact that everything's available 24 hours during this festival is also really new, because usually we have two or three screenings of a film, and if you aren't available, you might miss out on those movies. But this way, you're able to watch anything almost at any time, which is sort of exciting. And then also, a lot of these movies are available all over the country. So if you have if you know someone who loves film festivals, they can actually get a pass and be part of our festival, even if they're in North Carolina or Maine, and that's exciting. So
yeah.
So these are the new things. And then the last thing is just that filmmakers have been able to be so much more involved in Q&As this year, because they don't have to travel to San Luis Obispo. We wish they were, and we don't want to discourage that in the future, obviously, but the fact that they're able to just to call in and be part of a Q&A that sometimes involves several different people, like I just did one with Dale, who you're about to talk to. And she had two of her cast members and the cinematographer all on the call. It was really great. And that probably wouldn't have happened in a normal festival setting. So,
yeah, all of those are great, great points. And Skye, you're local, right? Mm-hmm. You grew up local. Mm-hmm. When you were younger, mm-hmm. not that you're that much older, but when you were younger,
yeah.
did Did you attend the film festival?
I did actually. And
Grew up with
so
it.
I grew up in Templeton. So coming to SLO to me was always a very big deal. And
Went down the
I
grade.
went down the grade and I was really into film. I wanted to go to film school in high school. And so, yeah, I attended the festival and I think I volunteered too, like taking tickets at the Palm Theater. And we had this short film with Melissa Joe Hart in it. And I was a huge fan of her from Clarissa Explains It All. And so it was a big moment for me. And I was like, I just loved it. And so when I moved to San Francisco for school, I got involved with the SF International Film Festival. And that kind of, I started working film festivals for the last 10 years from that. So it did definitely influence me.
That's fantastic. And Wendy,
Yeah.
you've been involved with film festivals since its inception.
No, this well, this one's we're having our 27th festival this year, and I got involved when it was already 10 years
It
old.
was 10.
So
Okay,
this
but
is
a
my
long time.
17th year.
And did you ever imagine that you would be sitting here talking about a film festival with 24-hour access to the films and people being able to buy tickets and view the films from another country?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. No, and even a year ago, I wouldn't have thought of
Yeah, I know,
that. So
right?
that's how fast things change. But I think it does make sense. I think film festivals are probably all over the world looking at ways to reinvent themselves at this point because streaming has changed everything anyway. I mean, the film industry has been changing a lot in the last 5 years or so, and so I think this is really an interesting wake-up call to a lot of not only filmmakers and how to get their movies out there in the world, but also film festivals and how to stay relevant. So, yeah, I think it's sort of an exciting time, even if we didn't want it to happen quite so abruptly.
Yeah, even if you wouldn't have picked it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener supported radio station. The 27th San Luis Obispo International Film Festival will start March 9th and run through the 14th. Today's guests are here to talk about what's unusual about this year's festival, how you might just be the perfect time for you to get your tickets if you haven't attended before, and what you can look forward to seeing this year. I'm joined by Skye McClellan, San Luis Obispo Film Festival Director, and Wendy Edson, SLO International Film Festival Artistic Director. And we're joined also by festival filmmaker Dale Griffiths-Samos, the writer and director of Entwined, a short film about the Central Coast in the F Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase. And Dale, I want to welcome you to today's show. And I'd love to hear more about the short film that you've done. And have you been entering this in film festivals?
Yes, so Entwined
Yeah.
is the story of an interracial relationship. It starts in the present, but also looks at the past. And in the present, two people in their 60s find themselves standing in front of the same painting at a gallery. And after a moment, they realize that they know each other. He's African American, she's white, and they had been boyfriend and girlfriend back in high school almost 50 years ago. And they had been torn apart, scared apart, actually, by these racist bullies. And this is the first time they're seeing each other in all these years. And so it's laden with all these feelings, with unresolved feelings, with actual still feelings of love that they have for each other, because it was a true love relationship. And the sadness of them being forced apart, is just permeates the film. Yes, it's been going to quite a few film festivals, I have to say. I think there's been nine so far, so it's been doing nicely. It won the Bill Paxton Award at the Ojai Film Festival, so that was nice. And I'm thrilled to be back at San Luis Obispo. This is my third time there. And last year, in 2020, I went to four live film festivals in February. And the next one that I was going to go to was the San Luis Obispo in March. And we booked the place we were going to stay because we love physically going to it. It's just such a delightful festival. So we booked the place and everything. And then, of course, at the last minute, they had to shut it down as far as a live festival and convert it very quickly to a virtual. And, you know, they're listed in the 50 film festivals worth the entry fee. And one of the things they say in that, which is really nice, is how quickly San Luis Obispo pivoted to the new form. You know, that they realized they had to do it and they did it. What I'm enjoying this year is, you know, that the fact that it's now, there are more things that they've been figuring out how to do virtually. I only went to four live in 2020. All the rest of them were virtual. And, you know, I have two other films that have been circulating as well. So there was a lot of virtual film festivals last year.
And it
really varies, you know, as to how well each festival handles.
When did you start working on writing?
I wrote it originally as a play that I was writing for my best friend, who's an African-American man who is some 11 years older than I am. And I really wanted to write something that had significance for him. But the other reason was, that I had a friend who had actually gone through this experience. And so the two kind of came together and I adapted it. And the play is just in the gallery, but of course the film is strengthened, I believe, by being able to flash back to those scenes. And the two, we didn't have them on the Q&A, but the two younger actors had such beautiful chemistry together. You totally understood their love. And when they're torn apart, it's so heartbreaking. And our two older actors, we were happy to be interviewed by Wendy for the Q&A. And they, you know, those are our two older versions of those two lovers, but there's also the husband of one of the actors. It was the husband and the older woman who we had the Q&A with, and those actors all just worked beautifully together. And as I've mentioned before, Michael Dorn, who played the African-American older man, is well known for playing Worf in all of the Star Trek television and movie theaters. And I like to joke around that he is such a handsome man, but no one was able to see it. All the makeup for Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wrote this in 2020?
No, I probably wrote it in 2018.
Okay.
Because I did the production of it in 2019.
Okay.
Actually, I think I started production in end of 2018 and then finished production around mid 2019. And I was doing another film simultaneously, which actually was the one that went to San Luis last year, called Dirty Little Cigarette. I'm either crazy or brilliant. I don't know which, or maybe, you know, I'll let other people judge, but I decided to literally shoot two films at once. I shot them 2 weeks apart and finished the post on Dirty Little Cigarette first. And then in 2020, finished the post. Early 2020, finished the post for Entwined.
What do you think is really the magic about doing a short film as opposed to a full-length film?
I am a huge fan of short films. I think if I could make a career of it, you know, unfortunately, it's not usually a money-making endeavor, but if I can make a career of it, I would stick with shorts. I also love writing short plays. I've had two evenings of short plays produced. And it's just a form that I really resonate with. But of course, I've been writing full-length plays and full-length screenplays because, you know, one, I love that challenge, but it's a whole other experience and takes me a lot longer to write. And of course, trying to produce, which I've produced all my own shorts or co-produced, you know, is so much bigger an endeavor, but I think I am starting to move in that direction.
Yeah. Wendy, when you make selections for the film festival and you're looking at all the films that are coming through, how do you select? I mean, what is the process?
It's a long, exhausting process that involves a lot of people. We get a lot of films submitted, and we start in the middle of the summer. So we do a long period of screening, and we have probably about up to 70 people doing it. Everybody does it kind of on their own time. So we don't have organized screening. People are just watching. And luckily we've always been doing this watching at home kind of thing. So that worked perfectly for this past year as well. And everything's online. So the filmmakers actually do it through a website called Film Freeway. They submit their film. They put all the information about it in once, and then they can submit to 1,000 festivals if they want to or can afford to. There is actually a fee, and that's a sliding scale over time. And then we have several different categories. So there's a lot of films to watch, and over time, you start to see the good ones rising to the top with the evaluations of the screeners, and others are not as well liked, so they get rejected, and then finally at the very end of the year is when we sort of scramble to pick the official selections. And Sky was very much a part of that process this year, which was so nice for me, because in the past it's been something I've done kind of in a solitary way at the end. And I think that is the way to do it. I don't think you can do that kind of thing by committee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, having Sky's opinion for the final picks was really helpful and fun too. So, and of course she's got people that are listening can't see the fact that she's about 30 years younger than me. So that's also been a big choice to get someone involved in the festival who's much younger and has a different take on everything. And it's been really, I think we have a good partnership that way. The audience tends to be closer to my age, but the filmmakers tend to be closer to Sky's age. So it's an interesting kind of combination.
And what do you look for? What did you see in Dale's film? What did you see in Entwined?
Well, I saw a beautiful love story that was really well told, and excellent actors. And just, you know, again, like what Dale was just saying, I love short films as well. I love short stories. I'm reading a book of short stories right now. I love stories told concisely. And, I also love long versions too, but I felt that she really did a great job telling that story and making it compelling and in kind of a simple way, even though it was complex story and lots of complex feelings involved. And it's also a good
complex
story
subject.
It's a complex subject, exactly. Yeah. And it's a good story for now. It's a good story for always, actually. But I thought she did a great job with it. So I'm just going to say too that our Central Coast filmmaker category, which I started in 2008, I believe, shortly after I got involved in, it has really blossomed into being quite an impressive group of films each year. And Dale is really helping to elevate that category. And this is her third film, and she's in Santa Barbara. So the Central Coast category includes Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara County filmmakers. And it gives us a chance to highlight people that are shooting films in those three counties, and they're great mentors to up and coming filmmakers. And we're going to actually have a mixer at this one, a Zoom mixer, but and we've done that in the past where we've done it in person. We also do a red carpet event in person, and really try to encourage the networking aspect of people that are working in the local areas and sharing everything basically that filmmakers want to share. So I just really am impressed by Dale's work, and I'm just excited to kind of continue to watch her develop as a filmmaker. And I told her in the Q&A the other day, I'm like very excited about what's coming next. So,
yeah. Thank you, yeah. Wendy.
Yeah. And Dale, I want to, you know, Wendy's been complimentary of your work, and it sounds beautiful. This film sounds beautiful. You've entered in a number of different film festivals, and you had commented about how this film festival has pivoted so quickly to a virtual platform when it had to. How do you see the San Luis Obispo Film Festival in comparison to other film festivals? Does it rise to being able to compete with that?
You know, that's a wonderful question, because I've been doing festivals since 2014 when I was, because I had three other films before the ones that went to San Luis that I didn't direct, but I wrote. And mm-hmm. So I've been going to festivals for what, 6 years now, six and a half years. And so I really have had a lot of experiences to compare festivals with. And my husband always comes with me, and we definitely look at the different aspects of the festivals. And for us, San Luis Obispo was almost a surprise. And what I mean by that is, it's a smallish community, so you never know how good a festival is necessarily going to be in a smaller community. It's a wonderful festival. And one of the things that we look at, or several factors that we actually look at, number one factor we look at is, how are the filmmakers treated? Because I have been to festivals, even really big festivals that are very glitzy and over the top and all of that, very glamorous, but you feel lost in the shuffle. You know, you don't feel like you're necessarily being valued as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
So our number one for us when we go is how are they treating, you know, me personally as a filmmaker? And so SLO definitely has that one in spades. Then the other thing that we find really wonderful in a festival is when, in fact, it is a small enough community that the theaters are all, like, you can walk to them, or the drive is very short. You know, I love a couple of others I've been to that you have to drive all over the place to get to the various cinemas, and that's okay, but it's so nice to be in a walkable community where you get an Airbnb there, and then you literally walk to all of the different screenings. So that's a biggie. Having a filmmaker lounge, that's like way up there, because not everybody does. And part of what a festival has to do is allow for networking with other filmmakers.
Sure.
And so if you don't have that, and of course SLO does have that. And then I'd say the final thing that I find important at film festivals are panels and industry events. Yeah. And again, SLO definitely has those as well. And I have been there once live and twice virtual. So I've had the whole kind of gamut of experiences, but I am totally looking forward to being able to come back to the live one again and just, you know, experience it right there again.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great. And it's be wonderful to have you there and your film there. And I know I have tickets, so
good.
We'll be able to see it. So We're going to take a break, but Dale, is there anything else you want to share before we take our break and bring in Brittany?
I will say I already told Wendy this story, but I will add to discussion of my film that Michael, our lovely actor, Michael Dorn, one of the reasons he said yes to the script was that he had a very similar experience himself.
Oh.
And he told me about it. And so this really resonated with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that's an interesting, you know, side note.
Yeah, it is. Definitely is. I look forward to seeing it. Thank you.
Thank you
for joining us. And we're going to take a break. And Brad, I'm going to turn it over to you. And we'll be back with Central Coast Voices in just a moment.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, LA-based poet Jessica Salgado writes a lot about love, lust, and her body. We'll talk with her about her favorite sexy fruits and situationships.
And I'm like, if after this he doesn't want to marry me or at least hook up, like there's nothing else I can do.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Join us for Latino Voices coming up next on KCBX at 2 o'clock. And thank you for tuning in to Central Coast Voices. If you've got questions that you would like to have answered, you can send them to us at voices@kcbx.org or call them into us at 805-549-8855. Beautiful day on the Central Coast. We've hit our high of 73. Let's get back to Central Coast Voices. And back to you, Chris. What's
Guy, do you want to talk about how you want to try and engage
back
some
to
of
you,
the younger
Chris.
People? To come out?
Yeah, we have a free program this year too that I would like to talk about, the
Great.
Short stories, Big
Great.
Voices.
Great.
And yeah, that is kind of geared towards the younger audience, I would say. Yeah, and then we've also, yeah, just, yeah, some of that stuff maybe would be good.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and coming back to you with Central Coast Voices. And we have today's guests are talking about the 27th annual SLO International Film Festival. I am have a guests are Sky McLennan, the International Film Festival director, Wendy Edson, Film Festival Artistic Director. And joining us now is filmmaker Brittany App. Brittany's environmental documentary, Where There Once Was Water, will premiere on the closing night of the festival. And if you have questions for today's guests, we invite you to call them into us at 805-549-8855, or you can email us at voices@kcbx.org. Or if you want to share something that you've really appreciated about the SLO International Film Festival, I'm sure that the guests would love to hear that too. So, Sky, I want to go over to you real quick before we go back to Brittany and talk about some of the new additions this year to the film festival. You've not only changed it up to a virtual platform, but you're adding some things too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, we have a couple new programs this year that we're really excited about that we hope are just the beginning of more. But we have a program this year that's funded by the city of San Luis Obispo called Short Films, Big Voices, Big Stories, a program of diverse voices. And it's programmed by Courtney Hale from Race Matters SLO. And it's a series of five short films from filmmakers of color, ranging from narrative, documentary, we've got comedy, like a little bit of everything in these shorts. And then it also includes two panels, a panel about building representation in film, which is something I don't think we've talked a lot about here in SLO, and we're excited. We have someone from Amazon that's going to be on that panel, and some other people that are really working on equity in filmmaking right now. And then we also have a panel called The Power of social media to create change. And that kind of came about through what happened here locally in San Luis Obispo, through if Tiana Arada and the Black Lives Matters protests. And so we've got some really amazing people that are doing great work that have been really have come and used media and video and social media to create change in our community. And we're really excited about that. And the best thing about this program is it's free. All you have to do is register and you get access to the films and the panels. And so we're really hoping that people who've never come to the festival or felt that it was too, they couldn't afford the festival, this is just a way to get that content. And we just, please sign up. And then we've got another program, which is music videos, which we've always had submitted to our festival. And sometimes we play them, you know, if they fit, but we've kind of now, they have their standalone category on their own. And we're really excited to see that grow. And the submissions we got were amazing. We have 15 music videos. So yeah, it's really cool. And they're just an art form in itself, you know, a whole other medium. And I'm glad that they're kind of on their own now and really being highlighted. So yeah, we're excited about that.
And say something about how people can register for this. Yes. Where do they go? And how do they do this? What are the options?
So you just need to go to our website, slowfilmfest.org, and navigate to our film guide, and all of the events are there. And if you want to buy tickets for something, you can buy tickets for individual films. You can buy a pass, which gives you kind of access to all of the films. Like, we have a few different tiers. And then, you can register for free for the panels, which are happening on Zoom. And that Central Coast Mixer that Wendy brought up, we have that. A bunch of really cool panels besides the ones I just talked about as well. And it's just all there. Just sign up. Pretty straightforward. And the virtual part is not as scary as it seems. It's pretty easy to use, and you can use your Roku TV or Apple TV as well to watch the films, which we're excited about. We didn't have that last year, so.
Yeah, and again, all of them can be accessed 24 hours.
You can choose, when you want to access the film. So we're kind of deciding, like, there's some Sundance, you know, they have limited time slots when you can see things. And we just wanted to make it as easy and accessible for everybody. And, you know, you kind of choose your own adventure.
And they didn't have access to a computer. How could they get tickets without that, without going to the website?
Yeah, you can always call us on our phone number that I don't have memorized right now. I'll just pull it up. It's 805-546-3456. And we will have someone call you back and help you with that as soon as we can.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. And Dale, or excuse me, Brittany, I would love to hear about the documentary Where There Once Was Water. I watched the preview of it and I was really inspired by it. But talk a little bit about when did you write this?
First of all, thank you so much for having me and for saying kind things about the film. I've been working on this for a really long time. It started as a photography project, actually, way back in 2014.
Wow.
And a couple of years into the photo project, where I was attempting to document the severe drought that we were in here in California, I realized that it was going to be a real challenge to photograph disappearing groundwater. And that was the point where it really switched gears into becoming a documentary film, and where I started traveling the state with a different focus and a broader focus, admittedly maybe too broad of a focus that then I had to reel in a few times. This is my first film, and so writing it was brand new, directing it was brand new, producing it is brand new. It's such an honor to be included in the Slow Film Fest, especially because this is my first baby. So, and I love the Slow Film Fest. I've been volunteering as the photographer for a few years now, and Of course, we'll be missing the in-person experience this year, but also, as we've already talked about, there are some pretty special benefits to having this all online.
Yeah, the photography in this clearly was done by someone with an eye for photography. I know when I was watching, I was going, wow, this is really beautiful, some really beautiful shots.
Oh,
but
I would just like to add something, if you don't mind.
Sure.
just to say that, yes, she's got an incredible eye as a photographer, but to have made a first film that's this good is rare, very rare, because I've seen a lot of movies and a lot of documentaries that are often run too long, even if they're fascinating. The pacing is off or they're just too long. She's done an incredible job. She nailed it. So I don't know. You might just have to stop after this one, Brittany. I don't want you to, though. but honestly, I mean, it's just so rare to make a film this good right off the bat. So
what a compliment. What a compliment, Brittany. And we have a caller, Brad. You have a caller with a question?
I sure do. We had a caller who came in, and we do have a caller wondering if you have to view the film festival on your computer, or is there a way to watch it on a smart TV?
Yes, so you can download the Elevent TV app. That's our platform that we're using, and that's available on the Roku and on Apple TV. So you can use a smart TV. You can also Chromecast the video from your laptop to your smart TV if you have Chromecast.
And that's, you get instructions on that on the website?
Yeah, and we have more instructions on our site, and we will have people helping you troubleshoot those issues if you are watching and you need help. So feel free to reach out.
Great. So talk a little bit, Brittany, about what you feel like you wanted to come through in this film. And did you hit what you wanted?
Those are great questions. I hope that I think I did hit what I wanted, and what I wanted changed as I worked on the film, and with it being a project that spanned so many years.
Yeah.
It went through a few different iterations of itself before it landed where it was always meant to land. And I did a lot of feedback screenings along the way. And I think partly because that's just part of who I am and how I like to work, is like, here's a thing. Let's hear what people think. Here's my baby, rip it to pieces, right? And then I'll put it back together. And then let me show you the baby again. You can rip it up again, and then I'll put it back together. And so that, I mean, I probably did three significant feedback screenings where I tore it apart and put it all back together. And where the film has landed feels so good. I like to say that it is a song for the sacred in all of us. And the heartbeat of the film is this call to reconnect and to rebuild our relationship with water. And by doing so, begin the healing that is necessary on a planetary scale. But if we don't start inside ourselves, then we'll never get there. And the film presents all of these different ideas for how to reconnect, whether it's a rancher who's doing holistic land management with his cattle to restore the water cycle, or whether it's an indigenous tribe in Northern California trying to restore salmon runs, and all sorts of other things in between. So it feels good to be making a film that's hopeful in a time that doesn't necessarily feel all that hopeful. So
yeah,
to answer your question, yeah, I think it has landed in the right place.
And that takes me to my next question, which was, what's the biggest learning that you got over that period of 6 or 7 years of taking babies? And
I know that's a bad analogy, isn't it? Tearing up the baby. Yeah. I have learned that, wow, making a film is quite a thing. And big props to anyone who has ever done it in any way, shape, or form. It is the biggest project of my life. And possibly, you know, the most rewarding, one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. The people I've gotten to meet, the stories I've gotten to hear, and all the little and big things that I have learned along the way. And also, I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about perseverance and tenacity. I've learned how helpful and difficult feedback can be. And it's, you know, filmmaking is a great way to grow as a human being, as an emotional being, and also a great way to start to share important conversations. And mm-hmm. So it's just an honor to have had the support from the community that really I needed to be able to even try this. And the whole process has been a nice reminder and validation of how wonderful people can be to each other.
Yeah.
In general. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Sky, you you were part of the team that critiqued the films. Mm-hmm. What is it that you saw in Brittany's film that kind of stood out for you?
Well, for one, you know, growing up here in Templeton specifically, I know a lot about the water crisis here, and I've seen a lot of it's an important personal issue to me. And then, you know, I've seen a lot of environmental documentaries as well. What I love about Brittany's documentary that's very different is it's very poetic, and there's an artistic quality to it. And that really has to do, I think, a lot with her being a photographer, and the cinematography is absolutely beautiful, out of this world. And I think you feel that, and it creates an intimacy that you don't get in some other environmental docs that I've seen that are very focused on, you know, trying to get the mission across and that quality. Another thing I really liked about that Brittany did pay a lot of attention to was the Indigenous perspective. That's also incredibly important and very often left out of the narrative. And it's very a clear thread from her film. And so that it felt right. It came at the right time when we saw it, and Wendy and I both were like, this is the perfect film. And, you know, and being able to highlight someone local to us is even just a really great pleasure. We don't always get that opportunity. So, we just felt really lucky for it to come to us. Like, it was very serendipitous.
Yes. And we had, I think, Brittany, didn't we share a short version of it several years ago?
Yeah, when you were still in your
baby stage.
Yes, it was one of the first babies. I feel like I was a year or two into production, and it was like a sneak peek, 15-minute, here's what I'm working on, kind of short film version of Where There Once Was Water. And it was part of a night of environmental short films at the Octagon Barn. It was a really cool event.
And
that legitimized the project for me in a really powerful way, at a point where I think I needed it. So thank you for that opportunity. And just thank you for everything. You ladies are such a joy to work with.
Well, so are you. And the thing is, I just want to point out too, that you have extreme confidence that other filmmakers may not have, to be able to let people see an unfinished piece and then take their critique and actually use that and make your movie better. It's too bad more filmmakers don't do that, but I think it's really admirable that you have the confidence to do that, and shows in the finished product. So kudos.
Well, it's also,
you're a good role model.
Oh, thank you, yeah. Wendy. Well, you're gonna make me cry. I'm already crying. You're gonna make me cry more.
If you start, I'll start. So you do.
Well, it's also, I think, in addition to confidence, it also takes somebody that's willing to make themselves raw, you know, bare mm-hmm. to other people and exposed. And yeah. we're not used to doing that a lot. Yeah,
no, even it's hard for an artist to do that.
Yeah, it's hard for anybody to do that. But I would think yeah. that a sensitive artist, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm super sensey.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there it is. Mm-hmm. What can you know, Wendy and Sky, talk a little bit about, you know, I mean you've brought in Dale and Brittany, and they're just, you know, they're obviously two films that people are gonna wanna see. What is the range of the kinds of things that people can expect? You talked a little bit, Sky, about you know, some of the new stuff, the video sounds like a kick, and you know, the new element that you've added for people to think with and to, you know, really embrace for discussion sounds great. What else can we expect?
Some really amazing films. Like, just our core program is great. And kudos to Wendy for that. We always have great documentaries. We have a documentary about people who make books. We've got amazing vinyl records. We've got one on about Banksy, which is really a really interesting one that I know a lot about him, but it's still gives you kind of a new take on like who Banksy might be. Mm-hmm. We have some really amazing narrative features, and including I think now it's all coming to me.
Well, I'll just jump in because we can help each other out on this.
Yeah.
But I you know we have the word international in our title for a reason.
Yeah.
And we do have a lot of international films. Again, once again this year, I think at least 25 countries are represented, and that's exciting to me because especially now when people don't get to travel, we of course they can watch anything they want on their streaming wise, but we really do endeavor to choose movies from all over the world and things that kind of represent all sorts of issues and cultures and you know, teach you things but in a fun way, hopefully. We also try to pick as many, you know, comedies as we could that made sense.
Yeah.
Not silly ones. But I mean, I guess I just want to get across that these are not all heavy, you know,
yeah.
topics and, you know, that you have to slog through. It's really a mainly light, a lighter festival probably than maybe other years, but because I think everybody needs that right now. But mm-hmm. A lot of the films are just really excellent, and we also scored quite a number from Sundance that just premiered at Sundance or Slam Dance, because that was a little bit easier for us to be able to see what they had a little sooner. So yeah, we're both, I know Sky is just as excited as I am about our lineup. And I think it's really, as we usually say, there's something for everyone in this mix of films. So we are going to be mailing out our festival guide, which actually may have already gone out, I hope.
And, I was giving you a thumbs up. So apparently it did. Yeah,
it did. Good. And we have a print guide again this year, which is great, and it will be available in a bunch of different venues around the county, and then also everything's on our website. There's lots to read and lots of trailers and so you can really just delve in and see what we have.
That's fantastic. And Dale and Brittany, I want to give you a few minutes to say whatever you want to say about what you want people to come and see about your film, about the film festival. So Dale, I'm going to go to you first.
Well, first of all, I've been busy trying to put chats in to Brittany. Your film sounds so amazing. I am just so looking forward to seeing it. It just, I don't know. It just, that whole poetic aspect of water just sounds fantastic. I would say that, yes, everyone should realize that there is this one major plus to a virtual festival. You can watch something. It's so much more flexible. You can watch something during the entire time of the festival. And, you know, you just have to go on. I do encourage everybody to vote, because those are all very important parts of the festival, and mean a lot to the filmmakers. But I would say take advantage of virtual festivals while they're around. And this one, of course, will be one of the best that you can attend. And I just encourage you to really see as much as you can from the comfort of your couch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And Brittany.
Oh, I second all of that. I think what's great is that, you know, I have friends saying, oh, when can we... We can't make it to Slow, but when can we see your movie? I'm like, you can make it to Slow on the internet. It's very cool. It's this thing that we all have on our computer, or most of us have. So yeah. The accessibility is really great. And the fact that the Slow Film Fest is now available to people all over the United States from the comfort of their pajamas and their sofa is so cool. And I think it'll be interesting, Sky and Wendy, to see, you know, how what the numbers are like, you know, what sort of attendance you get compared. And different. I think, it's different and it's cool. And someday this will be a time we look back on as a memory. But while it's here in real life, you know, let's make the best of it we can. And I do encourage everyone to attend the Slow Film Fest online in some way, shape, or form. Every single film that's in there represents, you know, years of someone's life and dreams and messages that just burn so bright in the heart that they have to come to form. Drink some of that up. It's good.
Great. And real quickly, Sky, Wendy, the website is what?
Slowfilmfest.org.
Okay. S-L-O. And when, slofilmfest.org. Yeah. And Wendy, the phone number?
805-546-3456.
Okay. I want to thank my guests for today, Sky McClellan, San Luis Obispo International Film Festival Director, Wendy Edson, Film Festival Artistic Director, Dale Griffith-Stamos, Writer-Director of Entwined. It's going to be shown at the film festival, and filmmaker Brittany App, Where There Once Was Water, is going to be premiering on closing night of the film festival next week. Join Fred Monroe as he speaks with guests about Harvestly, a new local business started and run by Cal Poly students. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining us today.